Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 83 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And today we're talking about her etiquette, adulting. What the heck is that? Before we start the episode, just know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review this wonderful episode, because we love to hear from you. I read these. I love it, love it, love it. So don't forget. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
What the heck is adulting? It's about time we understood. And also the etiquette. Oh my gosh, the whole Emily Post thing. The etiquette in today's crazy-ass society. Well, we have Kelly Williams Brown here to help us with this, and she has a wonderful book. It's called, Adulting, How to Become a Grown-Up in 468, easy-ish steps. Gracious, a practical primer on charm, tact, and unsinkable strength. Kelly Williams Brown is the New York Times bestselling author of Adulting, oh my gosh, which has been translated into 9 languages because we all need to learn how to adult. She was a features reporter and an award-winning humor columnist for the Statesman Journal, a daily newspaper in Salem, Oregon, which is where she lives now with her dog, Eleanor. What kind of dog is that?
Well, she's a mutt. Definitely part St. Bernard and then part Muppet, perhaps? We're not entirely sure.
I like it. So I have two German Shepherds, so I'm all over this. You know, I'm loving every moment of this. So Kelly, welcome to the Her podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, now, what is adulting? Why'd you write this book? What is this really all about?
Oh my gosh. Well, basically, I wrote this book at age 27 for my very confused, frightened 22-year-old self. And essentially, you know, you get out of high school, you get out of college, and you probably know a lot about, you know, trigonometry and ancient civilizations and philosophic thought. You might not know what to look for when you're renting an apartment, or how to negotiate for a raise at work, or even how bleach works. And so I wanted to set out and sort of do a reporting job on what it means to be an adult and to let young people know, like, hey, it's okay. There's a ton of stuff you don't know. It's not because you're stupid. It's not the end of the world. Let's just figure it out together.
I love it. I love it. You know, and you're so right. I mean, you may be able to talk about antiquities, but I mean, you know, when someone shows up with a rental agreement, it's like, duh, what do you do?
How do you do this?
Oh, yeah. And well, actually, oh my gosh, it's an adult thing that you're doing. You're actually, you know, executing adult behavior. Oh my gosh. Is this good or bad?
You know, I just wanted to tell people, I think a lot of times we think of an adult as either something you are or aren't. And almost every single person in the world thinks they aren't one. And so my point is, like, hey, don't think about it like that. Think about just these little steps. Like, think about making it an active process. And if you slip up, if you have Diet Coke and, you know, cereal without milk full of sugar for breakfast, that's okay. Just do a better job next time.
Okay. Now, what are some of the other, you know, as it were, rules of adulting? You've got 468 easy-ish steps. So take us through some of these steps. We want to understand. Millennials out there are listening, you know, in the Herb podcast, and God knows their parents are, saying, how in the heck can we execute this adulting thing? The millennials are like, huh, what? What's adulting? Is it really necessary? Can I just sort of live in another world for the rest of my life? So what's it really all about?
Well, first, I would like to say that adulting is optional. You know, it's not quite as, it doesn't rise to the level of, like, don't commit genocide importance. You know, almost all of these steps are optional things. They don't make you a good person or a bad person for doing them or not doing them. My main point is, like, hey, your life is going to be a little bit easier if you take certain steps. If you try to eat right and try to kind of have stuff at home so you can come home and, you know, cook yourself a quick meal in the evening, then you're going to spend less money and you're probably going to feel a little bit better if you're eating healthy things. There's so many steps. One of the best ones that I, you know, sort of always go back to is buy toilet paper in bulk. You're always going to need it. It's not going to go bad. And buying toilet paper in bulk sort of buys you some insurance that you are not going to have to, like, head out in the middle of the night when, you know, someone's digestive system is on the march. So if you take away nothing else, just go ahead and buy that 12-pack or 24-pack. Nobody is going to look at you weird for doing so. But there's so many others, you know. There's act like you've been there before. There's, you know,
what does that mean, act like you've been there before? Explain.
Sure. I have a whole chapter called Fake It Till You Make It. And, you know, I think faking gets a bad rap. If we were all our most honest, raw selves, the world would probably not be a very good place. We need those social veneers. And here's the key is that if you're acting like you are a thoughtful, considerate, capable person, then guess what? In the meantime, you're actually being thoughtful and considerate and capable. And act like you've been there before was a great piece of advice I got from a family friend who I also interviewed extensively for Gracious because she's the most gracious woman I think I've ever met. And I was saying, you know, Bonnie, what about those situations where, you know, and I don't know if you get these or not, but I feel like every now and again, you get one of those invitations that's way above your fanciness pay grade. And you get there and there's all these glamorous people and everyone's dressed up and you think, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And Bonnie's advice for that was twofold. She said, number one, remember that you all arrived on the same guest list. And number two, act like you've been there before. And I think those pieces of advice can apply to a lot of things. You know, next time you're feeling unworthy of that job or that relationship, whatever it might be, remember someone picked you for this. You're wanted here. And when you don't know what to do, just take a deep breath and act like you've been there before.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm just like making copious notes here. Now, what's another one? I mean, I'm just sitting here saying, just keep it coming, girlfriend. So another easy-ish, you know, adulting, how to become a grown-up. Because, honey, listen, I know a lot of boomers who need this too. So I'm just saying.
Well, okay. So this is one that I still have not mastered and I have to work on every day. But when something spills, I am not a clean person. I am, my natural setting is slob, right? And I was talking to a family friend whose house is just always beautiful and it's just always so clean and tidy. And I was saying, you know, Carol, what do you do? And she said, well, you know, throughout the day, I'm just, you know, kind of going behind myself and tidying up. And let's say I'm brushing my teeth and I get a little fleck of, you know, toothpaste on the mirror or on the sink or whatever. She said, I just go ahead and wipe it up right then while I'm still brushing my teeth. And I was like, you wipe it up right then. Because here's the thing. When something spills, the next step is wipe it up. It is not to do what I still sometimes do, which is go through this like elaborate flowchart of like, is it more than an ounce? Is it bright orange? Is the dog going to get it? You know, and like oftentimes be like, I'll just save it for later. Like, no, just wipe it up right then. It's never going to be easier to wipe it up than it is in that moment.
Oh my God. I'm just laughing here. Just I think we've all been there, haven't we? Good grief. So
like,
give me another one. Oh my
for?
Gosh, I love that one. Okay, another one. Maybe another one that's easy for you, challenging for you like this. What?
Sure. Well, this is actually also from Carol, and this is was the very first step that I ever put out on the blog, but she suggests that you make your bed every day. And she says, as soon as I get out of bed, I just turn around and I take that, you know, 30 or 45 seconds to get, you know, get the sheets smooth, get the blanket smoothed out. And she said, and then I have like this nice clean surface in my room. So if I want to lay my outfit down on there or set my purse or whatever, you know, I know that's good to go. And a couple of things are great about this. Like, number one, it sort of gets your day started in an intentional way. You know, it's like I get out of bed and I turn around and I make my bed. And also, as someone who has often not made her bed, I will say that the sensation of like getting into a bed that has like tangled up sheets and like kind of getting caught in those sheets for some reason gives me such a feeling of failure. I'm like, oh, I'll never be an adult. Adults don't get tangled in their sheets. And guess what? If I spend less than a minute at the beginning of the day, I never have to get tangled in my sheets.
Oh my God. The tangle in the sheet thing. You know, I'm smelling a stand-up routine right now. Okay. I think you should definitely hit the road and do the whole Tangle Sheet thing and the rest of it. I'm listen, you got 468, little ways here that you can integrate into the grist for your comedic mill, which I think would be cool. So give us more, just keep it coming because we're taking notes fast and furious here.
Sure. So if with your permission, I would love to kind of switch over to gracious, I did it the same way. Again, it was not something that I felt at all like an expert on, but I really, I reported it. And I talked to all kinds of gracious women and men, and it was such a treat. So I sort of think of it as like the advanced adulting. It's like now that you've gotten your life in order, how do we interact with other humans?
Wait a minute. Are you saying being gracious is sort of like the PhD? So the adulting is like the baccalaureate, but now we're going to the doctoral level here?
I would absolutely say that. I really would.
Excellent.
I think about the humans that I most admire and look up to who really lead what I consider to be, fulfilling and integrated lives, all of them, the commonality there, even though they're very different people, is that they have these like wonderful relationships and they have a warmth about them and they genuinely love humans and humans love them back. And I think that's kind of the heart of graciousness. So
let's go into that place now. Why is grace still important today? Because honestly, seriously, out there, I think people just lost the memo at some point, and they think that was some kind of, Elizabethan kind of thought from, years ago, and only to say, wait a minute now, learning to be gracious means what? Now, we've been talking about adulting. We now get what adulting's about. What is it about graciousness?
Well, I think, I think graciousness is really recognizing the humanity of everyone around you. And it is it's not taking other people for granted. It's not taking anything for granted. It's being grateful. I mean, those words have the same root. And it's a really old word, and it's a really important word. And I know people do think of manners as like, it's so funny. It's like it's the dodo bird or something, like the last one died and there can never be any ever again. And, what I really want to let people know is, look, it's free. It's available to everyone. You can start doing it anytime. And it only takes a teeny bit of consideration and a teeny bit of extra time. And
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And not that we would do this for the payoff, hopefully you want to be gracious just because it's good to be gracious. But that said, there are payoffs. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Now let's look at some specific situations. Like for instance, what's a gracious way of backing out of a social event that you definitely don't want to attend?
The most gracious thing that any of us can do for ourselves, and it's very important that you be gracious to yourself. If you don't have that confidence and that sense of who you are, then it's not graciousness, it's people pleasing. So something you can do to be gracious to yourself is to just learn to say no. We are always so reluctant to say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't, and it's as though we think if I don't attend X, Y, or Z event, then everyone's night is going to be ruined. People are going to be rending their garments and weeping. Tragic plays will be written about the fact that I didn't want to go to this party and then didn't go. Just saying no is a fine thing to do. You do not have to labor over explanations. You do not have to torment yourself, by explaining that you have to get a kidney transplant. You just say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't. What you don't get to do is say yes, even though you mean no, and then flake out at the last minute. That's way more frustrating. Because if you think about what this person's going to do in either of those cases, if they ask you to do something and you say no, they say, oh, okay, that's too bad. And then they find another person to go do it with. If you say yes and then flake the day of, then you've ruined both your nights. Yours by, committing to something you don't want to do, and theirs by not allowing them the chance to go find someone who does want to do it.
Excellent. I absolutely love that. And, again, I wish people would just wipe it out of their minds that being gracious is some old fart kind of thing. That really, I like the fact that you said gracious and gratitude, are so linked in terms of words. And it's important for us to remember that when we're dealing with interactions with other people, that showing some level of honor, respect, and gratitude will get you far, you know, down the line versus, you know, just being, you know, kind of snippy, snarky, and stupid about it. What do you say to people who are constantly on their phone while you're with them? You know, they're in your company, but they're like on the phone already. I mean, they're texting, they're, you know, scoping something, their eyes are down, they're not with you. I mean, this happens all the time.
It does. And, you know, one thing that's challenging about, you know, etiquette and graciousness is that, you know, as my friend Lizzie Post says, it's a great tool for sort of self-reflection and self-adjustment. Unfortunately, as we all know, we cannot do a lot for the behavior of others. And generally speaking, you know, you don't want to correct someone else's behavior unless they are, you know, a minor child whom you are trying to make into a fully fledged human being, or if they ask. But I think something that's fair to do is to say, you know, I'll make up a thoughtless Teresa, we'll call her. You know, I could say, Teresa, it seems like you have a lot of stuff going on with your phone. Do you need to take a minute? And I think that's your number one thing, you know, is, I mean, first you want to model that behavior by not being on your own phone. Do what we all do. And when you sneak off to the bathroom, take your purse with you, answer all your texts, come back. And if that doesn't work, I think if they're a chronic phone frustrating person, I think it's totally reasonable to say, you know, Teresa, I love spending time with you and I value our friendship. And part of that for me is really making sure that I'm very present and we're in each other's company. And when you are often looking at your phone, it hurts my feelings because it makes me feel like maybe you don't value that time in the same way. And I know you have, you know, an intense job and I wouldn't want to get in the way of it, but I would, you know, I would love it if maybe we could spend less time that is of a higher quality. And if you do need to be on your phone, then, you know, we can reschedule.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, because honestly, today, it's just so hard to experience real courtesy. I think courtesy goes hand in hand with graciousness and gratitude and honor, respect, too. It's that little courtesy. You know, you get the door slammed in your face half the time. People are just kind of in their own world. The other thing, too, is that people are plugged in. If you're plugged in, you're not mindful. So if you're not mindful, you don't even know what's going on in front of you. So So how do you deal with that when you're looking at this issue of graciousness?
Well, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's something that we have to kind of focus on. And I am not nearly as gracious or a polite of a person as I want to be. You know, it's something that I always am working on, and it's something that I probably always will be working on. But I would say a few things, you know. Number one, I just remind myself when I find myself rushing through those interactions with other people, you know, manners are, if I can make them not optional, if I remember that, like, manners are the manner in which I live my life and I make it a priority, that really helps ground me. And it helps remind me that the work I do is not just about what I do for payment. The work I do is almost any of the actions I take on earth. And that includes actions where I'm just buying a bagel. As for the, you know, being constantly connected thing, it's hard. It is a really hard thing. You know, you think about even 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we had a few ways of communicating. You could call someone on the phone at their house and either they would be there and pick up, or they would call you back, or, you know, you could write a letter, or you could see them in person. And how many ways do we have now between, you know, texting and email and Twitter and Facebook Messenger and Instagram and Snapchat? You know, it just goes on and on and on. And it's like we're all expected to be keeping up 60 conversations at once. And, you know, my friend Alex has really mindfully stepped away from that constant stream of digital communication because her theory is, you know, I'm not going to be constantly in touch with you, but when we have time together, it's going to be really high quality time. So she has a note at the end of her email that says, which is true, she gets back to all her correspondence once a week. It's Sunday evening. That's when anything that's not super urgent gets replied to. And she sets the expectation that she's not always going to be on her phone. And so with her, if I text her and don't hear back, I don't do that thing of, oh, she must be dead or she must be angry at me. I think, oh, that's Alex's way. She's not constantly tied to her phone because she lives kind of a richer life. And she used to be huge on Twitter, like hundreds of thousands of followers. And at one point, she realized how much of her brain this was taking up, and not just how much of her brain, but how much of her time. And when she calculated out, okay, this is how much time I spend composing a tweet, tweaking it, sending it out there, seeing the replies, replying to the replies, she realized that if she kept going at that rate, 9 years of her awake time was going to be spent on social media. And she said, at the end of my life, is that what I want my output to be? And it is optional. We don't have to have all 70 conversations at once. We can try to quiet it down. We can let our friends know, hey, I'm not going to be the person that instantly texts you back every time, but let's hang out at this time and make that time special and make it meaningful.
I love it. You know, again, the whole issue is really how to respect and to honor someone else. And mm-hmm. this gets us into one of the thorniest ones of all. And that is, how can we be gracious with those who have different, whoopsies, political opinions from our own?
You know, this was, I wish there was something that I could offer you a simple answer. I wish I could offer all of us a simple answer, including myself. This is a really big problem for us as a country. And I think one thing that is really important is to always think about the humanity of the person in front of you. Think about, you know, as my family friend Virginia would say, you know, you don't know where this person is coming from. And that could be the last 20 minutes or the last 20 years. You know, you don't have their experiences. And so rather than, I think listening, just listening to people is so important. I think that's the heart of a lot of our bad behavior, political and otherwise, is that we're all kind of screaming into the void and none of us feel heard. So you can disagree with someone, but make it about those ideas. And if you listen to them, you know, it's fair to hope that they'll listen to you as well. And I think in those situations where, you know, it's really intractable, you can say, you know, there's so many things that we agree on, and there's so many ways that we enjoy chatting in each other's company, and it just doesn't seem like this is one. So I think we should just set this aside. And if you do hear someone saying things that you feel to be hurtful or, you know, maybe racist or sexist or just insulting of you, it's okay to say, give them the benefit of the doubt. Give people the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, I don't think you meant it this way. When you say this, I heard it like this. Is that what you meant?
I love it. I love it. And it, again, I'm liking the fact that you're being, you know, you're asking us to be a lot more thoughtful
yeah.
about how we interact with people, thoughtful and gracious and mindful about respecting the other person and not just rushing to judgment and pushing our own agenda on someone else. I just love the points you've made. And I love the fact that it came from a young woman. Yeah, that's right. Not some old fart. who's sitting back saying, wait a minute. Now, look, you know, maybe a millennial here, but come on. You know, we have to learn how to adult. We have to learn how to be gracious and grateful. So let's do it. And therefore, you have street creds because you come from that world. We get it. And I just wanted to make sure on this really wonderful and unique her podcast episode that everyone got it with, you know, adulting and, quite frankly, gracious etiquette. Everyone, we've been talking to Kelly Williams Brown. The books, Adulting, How to Become a Grown-Up in 468 Easy-ish Steps, and Gracious, A Practical Primer on Charm, Tact, and Unsinkable Strength. Her website is kellywilliams.com, where you can learn more about her wonderful work. And hey, Kelly, we're going to be coming back to you. Tag, you're it. You're our millennial. We can just ask you anything in an adult way. And of course, being gracious. You know,
well,
so
anytime.
There you have it. Thanks so much for having been on this Her podcast. It's really important to get your message out there.
Well, thank you so much for having me and, you know, to interact with you and to talk about these ideas that I think are so important. And I think they're going to save us. I hope they will. It's just such an honor, and I truly appreciate it, Dr. Pete.
Okay. Crossing fingers. I know they're going to get the message. All right. Remember to catch every episode of HER. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a moment and run on over to iTunes and give us a nice rate and a review so I can read it. Love to hear from you. I truly do when I read these. Hey, I'm Dr. Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our HER show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.